You will, of course, have become aware that in this study of the Psalms, every section is the same section. Because all the themes overlap, in fact, they are part of one another. You can take almost any of the Psalms and put them into one or two categories, and yet they contain all that we have been trying to say. And of course, our division is a device for breaking up a study into something which we can comprehend in a fairly straightforward way. So let's go now to this last section. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. And look at some of these expressions of personal devotion, which were really the response of the man of God to what God had done for him. In a sense, all the Psalms are that. But it's not the response with his lips. It's not the song that he composed to celebrate this particular event or that deliverance or to relieve that sorrow, but the attitude which represents devotion and love of the Lord. And I'd like you to have open in front of you Psalm 121 for a moment, because I want to start with this one. But this time I'm going to do something entirely different. I'm not going to read it to you first. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward and read it. I would like you to read it for yourself. But while you listen to the voices which proclaim this psalm on our record. And we'll notice, by the way, that the device used in this very simple recording is one that Brother Jim drew our attention to this morning, in which the voices answer one another. They came out and sang the song of Moses at the Red Sea, and the women answered, and there are several psalms like that. Psalm 24 is an antiphonal song. Don't worry about the words. It just means a voice answering to another voice. An antiphon. And the triumphant procession comes up to the city and cries, "Open ye the gates." And the watchmen cry, "Who is the King of Glory? Why should we let him in? Who is he?" And the answer is, "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory." And this wonderful song goes backwards and forwards, up and down the valley as the triumphant procession enters. Oh, now this is a far more intimate and personal little psalm. I think this is powerful enough for you to get it, but we'll just have to put up with that. Very simple psalm, you would think, to look at it. Beautifully sung, in my opinion. You notice that it's based upon the fact of the Lord preserving. No? Everybody's soul, although this is true, all the nation was preserved by God. But now he's taking this personally. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. And so I will lift up mine. He's talking to himself, really. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And yet, you see, simple though that expression of service and devotion and confidence in God is, it's built out of Israel's own history. It isn't something the psalmist has dreamed up for himself. His natural expression is the vocabulary and the reference and the pictures that have come out of the experience of his people. For example, let's go back into Genesis chapter 31. And here we have the individual man, Jacob, who is the bearer of the seed for the moment. And incidentally, I was thinking, as Brother Jim was talking, you know, supposing God had cut David off, allowed him to be surrounded by his enemies and cut off. And this happened many, many times, where the bearer of the seed, the one in whom the promise lay, supremely the Lord Jesus Christ, was at the moment of death. Now what if it had happened? The purpose of God was to be finished with Jacob, or finished with David, or finished with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so. Put it John's way, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness can't put it out. Well, Jacob went through some terrible experiences, fled from his brother who wanted to murder him, met his brother again in fear and trembling lest this threat should be carried out. Suffered tremendously personally, did Jacob. We pass it over in a few short chapters, and it's a lifetime of strife in his own family, where his sons couldn't get on, his wives didn't get on. And he had this domestic tragedy of seeing two of his children evil in their behavior. His daughter Dinah goes out to see the lamb and she is defiled. And how many mothers and fathers suffer that dreadful experience, you know, their only one. And this happens to them. Happened to David, or to Jacob. And I wonder if he ever said sometimes, as parents do, where did we go wrong? Well, here is Jacob. And we find him now confronting Laban. He's worked hard for Laban, done everything right, been a good master, a good servant to his master. And Laban's tricked him, cheated him, ground him down, so that he was able to say in verse 40 of this chapter 31, it goes from 36 onwards actually, but Jacob catalogues what Laban has done. And in verse 40, thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and sleep departed from mine eyes. That was Jacob. And then it says, as he left and went on his way, verse 32, the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he says, this is God's host. And they were there leads to conduct him to Esau, in actual fact. And Jacob, it says in the next chapter, lifted up his eyes, and there was Esau in front of him. Not an enemy, but he'd come to gloat over him a little bit and said, you know, I'm a rich man now, and hello Jacob, how are you? Come along with me, we'll join hands together. But Jacob says, oh no. Now you see, it's there in that psalm. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my aid? He was surrounded by God's host of angels. And he'd been 20 years with Jacob, with Laban, in which the drought had consumed him by day, and the frost by night. And yet he says, I will lift up to mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He will not suffer foot to be. Notice it's the Lord who made heaven and earth, by the way. It's the Lord our Creator who is able to preserve. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And Israel knew this. Anytime, if you couldn't sleep in the tent in the wilderness, you could go out. And there, over the tabernacle, was the pillar of fire by night, which said, the Lord that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. In the daytime, have you ever wondered how that camp stood in the wilderness in the burning heat? Day by day. And it was because the pillar of cloud was there. It was the shade which was over them. Isaiah said, a glory and a defense. A shade and a guard. Well, this was true in their national experience. It was part of their religion. And here now the psalmist takes it all personally. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Lift up your eyes to the hills, then, he is saying, and not to look down upon the earth. We are not children of the earth at all. We are children of God. And we turn now to Psalm 61, which is a psalm of distress and confidence, again highly personal in its expression of devotion, and see what the psalmist has to say there. Psalm 61. We are really letting the psalms do their own talking now, just a few brief comments, and it's surprising the powerful effect you can have upon yourself sometimes by just sitting quietly and letting the words sink in, not just skipping them over as part of the portion for the day, but letting them dwell in your mind. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. One of the great problems is to get people to pay attention. And God does it. You don't have to attract his attention. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth, wherever I am, I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Why? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We're back in the wilderness, aren't we? In that dry and thirsty land. Give us water to drink, they said. Can the Lord bring water out of the thirsty land? Can the Lord bring water out of the rock? And the answer was yes. What? And that rock became not only a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ who was with them, the Spirit of Christ, as it were, and the Apostle Paul's sense of that, to drink of that spiritual rock. But it's also a name of God. It's a title that God gives himself, the rock. You can't move rocks. There was even a place in the rock, if you remember, where Moses could be hidden, and God called it a place by me. I'll put you in a place by me and cover you with my hand, and you'll see things with your mind's eye that you never knew existed. That is what I'm like. And so, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. You know, we had this earlier today where David couldn't actually go into God's tabernacle, not right in. But he lived there in spirit all the time, longing for the day when he would ascend into thy tabernacle and dwell in the holy hill of Zion. But I will trust in the cover of thy wings. There it is again. In Genesis it says God, the Spirit of God, hovered over the waters. The word is word for the hovering of a bird's wings. Love in creation, we sang in our opening hymn, and that's what it was. God fluttered, as it were, over creation, and out of it came light and life and all the things that we enjoy so fully. In the same way, he took his people on eagle's wings, and there, right in the center of the tabernacle, the Lord's wings, that were represented this time by the wings of the cherubim, overshadowed the mercy seat. And he says, this is where I'll meet with you. Which he did, when the high priest went in. Well, now, as you are under the shadow of his wings, you belong. And if you trace that little theme through in the scripture, you will see that it is true. Ruth came, said Boaz, under the shadow of the wings of the Lord God of Israel. He married her eventually. And they were part of God's purpose in there. What began as a kind of love affair became part of God's purpose. And the holy seed of David and all that followed was born of them. But she came in under the shadow of the wings. In fact, the very skirt of the garments of the Redeemer that Boaz became is exactly the same idea. God spreads his covering around, and he does it for us when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are covered under the shadow of his wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. And it doesn't mean just heard what he said, but receive my vows, the devotion of my heart, and thou hast given me. Now listen to this. This is what we are. We are heirs, said the Apostle Paul. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So that all that is Christ's, we're going to share. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, and share my glory. That's what's coming. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Not just the people, that was true, but me and you. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. And David said, that's all my salvation and all my desire. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalms 42, 43, they're one psalm really, and form the basis of the words which we have just sung. Can we say this, by the way? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, running across the grass land, chased perhaps by the hunter, and coming at last to a brook and lapping it up, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? All my salvation and all my desire. We can't go through it all, of course, but as you run down, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The translators don't seem to make up their mind whether it's health or help there. I think they put health in one psalm and help in the other one. But it doesn't make much difference, does it? Because if God helps, then he is also our health, our healing, and our strength. And notice one of the things that upsets the man of God. Verse 10. They say daily unto me, where is thy God? This is what we don't like, isn't it? When people call our faith in question. When they say to us, when things go wrong, well, where is your God? Let him get you out of this. People actually say this. You know, you've trusted God all your life, and this has happened to you. They said it to Jesus on the cross. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross. And you will find there are people all over the place who are willing to say to you, no, if there's anything in Christianity, why is the world like this? Get us out of this. And two young ladies came to me in a certain amount of distress because they bought a book, or there was a book in the bookstore which talks about the Christadelphians, and it caricatures our faith, picks out all our weak spots. Not a bad thing if we take lessons from it. and has obviously misunderstood our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't like these things, you see. It touches us if our faith means anything to us, really. And this is what upset David very much. But this is the remedy. Every time. If you were ever disgruntled about the community, by the way, never stand back on the edge of it. Get stuck into it. Join it. Join in with it. And you will find that you have a fellowship such as you don't get anywhere else. Whatever people may say, and I speak from a fairly long experience, 50 years of it. Then will I go unto the altar of God. That's the place to find out. Go and worship. Unto God my exceeding joy. The gladness of my joy, the Hebrew says in the margin. And you notice, consistent with our theme of the psalms and the music, a natural response. Upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God, why art thou cast down? O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Very quickly, Psalm 66. A longer psalm. Can't linger over it. Just to show you how all our themes are joined together in this psalm. And it has a very, very personal message for us at the end. Psalm 66. Why don't the pages turn themselves? Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Let the earth sing to God. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the terrible works of the Lord. What? He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. This is one of his great works of this Creator of ours. And they went through. He ruleth by his power forever. Bless our God, ye people, which holdeth our soul in life. What an expression that is. Holdeth our soul in life. So gently sustaineth, we sing in one of our hymns. Just keeps us like that, in the hollow of his hand. Who holdeth our soul in life. For thou, O God, hast proved us, tested us out. Are we the quality that stands up to this? Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. That's what the distress is about sometimes. This testing process until all the dross is taken away. Thou broughtest us into a net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Look for that expression in Scripture if you want another theme through the Psalms. The large place into which God brings the men who've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. Between the rocks, it looks as though they're going to fall in, with the bandits lurking. You come out into a broad place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. Now, listen to this. I will pay thee my vows which my lips have uttered when I was in trouble. It's when we're in trouble that we promise. Lord, get me out of this, and I will be baptized, or I will, whatever it is. Save my friend. Heal one of my family. You know, I'll do anything. I will pay thee my vows which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. If, verse 18, I regard iniquity in my heart, we'll look at this tomorrow. The Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. We could have gone to Psalm 103, couldn't we? Remember all his benefits. The God who's like the Father, who reneweth thy strength like the eagles. You know, the lovely little verse, I say this every time I come to Swanwick. Well, nearly every time. It says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. But the real word is, he satisfieth thy prime with good things. You see, as you get older, you look back and you see that in your best years, God has helped you, given you something. And you can get a bit, you can get on a bit, but as you get on a bit, you just look forward more earnestly to the time when your youth is renewed like the eagle. I wouldn't go back for anything. It wouldn't be you, do you know that? I was very glad when I was your age, but I wouldn't be it now, because the best is yet to be. And he will renew my youth like the eagles. And then you'll have to run for it to keep up. So, that's another psalm we could have looked at. Seeing how from the east to the west God takes our sins and throws them over. But I must end with what is for me my favourite psalm. Psalm 116. I've read this at weddings. I've read it at funerals. I've read it when I felt I needed it myself. Let me read it to you to sum up the day's theme. It's there. Jerusalem is there. Purpose of God with Israel is there. With all his people, with the individual man and woman in the devotion of their heart. Salvation from death, future glory, the response of the man of God or the woman of God. Deliverance even from death in the end, and from sorrow now, and from sin too. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.